morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez. Want to welcome back to the show Oscar Mestiz, Regional Urban Forester of the Texas Forest Service and former co-host of Sunscape, which aired so many years ago here on KTEP, sort of the granddaddy of Good to Grow. So welcome back, Oscar.
Thank you, Norma. It's good to be back.
Well, we were talking about pruning last time, and it seems like we just barely touched the surface. So sort of recap, we were talking about, you know, the purpose of an arborist and how you can find one online. I have some online sources listed on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org if you're interested. And perhaps if you're thinking of doing some pruning yourself, there are some really interesting things that we should know about before we go out and start pruning our trees this time of year. For example, you don't have to prune because you feel you have to prune. There needs to be a reason behind the pruning, right? You just don't go and chop off leaves off your tree because it's winter, it's time to prune.
Correct. And that's a good point because people do use that. I mean, there's so many excuses I hear for pruning. My tree's too big, it's that time of year, the guy next door told me to, or something like that. But you need to have a reason and should have a reason to prune. And as a homeowner, there's some things you can do yourself if you're comfortable. Once the trees get large and mature, then you might want to hire the professional so that they can get into the tree with the proper equipment, either climbing with ropes and saddles or with high lifts or bucket trucks that can get up into there. But some of the things that you want to do is make sure you have the proper tools. So for a homeowner, I suggest you can get a pair of hand pruners. And when you're buying pruners, say for pruning woody plants, it always should be like the bypass type. The bypass type or have a scissor action. So you have a hook and a blade, and those make nice clean cuts on your woody branches. You could use, I would say, a small good set of hand pruners for smaller branches, like a quarter of an inch or size or smaller, about the size of your pinky, work really well. Then you can graduate up to the two-handled loppers that can cut from half inch to, you know, almost 1 inch caliper, depending on the quality of that. They're rated, so when you buy them, they'll say can cut up to a 1 inch branch or 3/4 inch branch. So you select it for that, and that will be for the, you know, things the size of your thumb or larger. But once you get into the 1 inch type branches, you want to use a handsaw, a good handsaw. And nowadays, they make these great saws that have these razor teeth and these triad blades, and you don't even sharpen them anymore. You just buy the saw with the handle. And they range anywhere from $25 to up to $60 to $80, depending on what you're going to do.
Which isn't bad, actually.
No, I mean, and as long as you don't dig it into the dirt and, you know, use it just for cutting wood, it should last most homeowners their lifetime. You know, I do a lot of pruning, and my saws last easily 5 years or longer.
What about those electric ones? I've seen some sort of chainsaw action types.
You know, I'm staying away from that. Thanks for bringing that up. I'm saying for most homeowners, yeah. Please, if you can stay away from power tools for pruning trees, do. Because even the professionals, you know, if you get to the point where you're using a power tool to prune your tree, I think you've waited too long. So with homeowners, I like to encourage them to prune when the tree is young because the cuts are smaller, it's easier to handle, and you can do all your pruning cuts simply with the tools I mentioned, the hand pruner, the hand loppers, and a hand saw. And as it gets a little bit taller, you might want to graduate to a pole saw. And they make these great pole saws now that can extend and reach up, you know, 10, 12 feet or even higher into a tree. And they have some with these pop-off heads that so you can pop the saw part on if you need a saw. Then you can take that off and pop the pruning part on if you want just to prune. They have great tools for everything out there now. But when it comes to getting into the larger trees, you really should be trained because to prune a mature tree, you should be in the tree, either climbing, like I say, with rope and saddle or from working from like a bucket truck or something like that because you have to get out to the tips and ends to get to that. But most homeowners can do small, easy cuts when the trees are small, say 20 feet or smaller. You can do pretty much all yourself. And then after that, you probably have to start getting a professional to come in.
Well, I know I've seen, especially in the Upper Valley, so you drive around Country Club where they have those low-hanging electrical lines. And people have planted cottonwoods there. Mm-hmm. So you see these poor cottonwoods with these giant U's cut right down the middle of them or, you know, just like gigantic 90-degree angle parts cut off of those. So if perhaps you are in that situation, what are you going to need to do?
Well, first of all, if there's an electrical line, stay away. Please. I mean, you really have to be trained. An arborist has to be trained in utility pruning before he's even allowed to prune near a utility line. So I believe it's a federal law states that anyone who is not trained cannot prune within 10 feet of an energized line. And that's pretty close. I would say 20 feet for the whole, you know.
So the electricity will travel through the tree.
Well, it jumps. It can jump from the power line to the branch. Let's say if you're on a branch, you cut that branch and that branch falls and hits the line. It can jump from the line to the branch to your tool to you, which you are the ground. and that means you get zapped. So, yes, stay away from power lines. And that's why you have to be specially trained, because they make the cuts so small so that the branches fall through the lines. And a lot of homeowners don't think about that. And they'd be cutting a branch, say, oh, I'm 10 feet away, I'll cut a branch. But then that branch tips over and it touches the line and is still attached to the tree, and you're touching the tree, and then it's very dangerous. So let the electric company and let those crews do that for you. They are professionally trained to do so.
And if you're planting a tree now, don't plant it under a power line.
That's right. That's and that's a whole other program, you know, tree selection
yeah,
and
true.
Placement. But yes, but if you have power lines running through your yard, don't plant a large tree, because it's eventually going to get into the lines. The power company, by law, has to come in and prune away from the lines so that the power is always there. I mean, one of the major reasons we have power outages are usually trees and limbs falling onto electric lines during storms. So that's why they prune them there where they are. So, I don't know, it's kind of a controversy. You know, I want my big tree there. And, well, that's fine, but we'll have to come in and prune it so that
we're not going to rewire around
your
tree.
That's right. No, we can. If you want us to go underground, we can, but it'll cost you.
That's right. Well, speaking of storms, we do have some pretty ugly windstorms that we see for a few months out of the year. And I've seen a few trees with some pretty extensive limb damage because of those winds. And I don't know if this is a good remedy for that. Let's say you have a tree with two large limbs that have split, and it split at the bark. Well, in my neighborhood, I saw somebody with a honey mesquite whose tree had split, and they left it like that for a few weeks. And then I was walking my dog one day, and I saw they had tied it together. And I thought, oh, God, that's stupid. That tree's going to be dead in no time. It lived.
Sure.
So why did it live? I would assume that it was dead at that point.
It's kind of crazy, but trees are actually very resilient. And as long as they have all the connective tissue there growing, as long as the roots are still connected to the ground and getting water and nutrients, and as long as there's life tissue in the tree through the xylem and phloem conducting water and minerals up to the crown and back down, it's going to survive. But on the inside where it split, that tissue's dead, and that will never come back. And that's kind of interesting when you go back to pruning. When you prune a tree, you are wounding the tree. Every prune you make is a wound. Trees do not heal. And that's why it goes back to when you're pruning, the smaller the cut, the better, because you're making a smaller wound, and smaller wounds callus over faster than larger wounds. That wound is always there. And so the tree has to, it senses there's a wound there. And what it does is it'll send a chemical barrier to that point and try to stop any decay or rot from happening. And then the tree has to put new wood and grow around there before the rot and decay starts. That's why pruning early and pruning when the tree is young is good to do that. And going back to your sample or example of the tree splitting, that goes back probably to what's called included bark. When you have very narrow branch angles, and something that our forester in San Antonio taught me this trick is with your hand, okay? If everybody can hold up their right hand right now while you're listening to me and put up like a peace sign, you know, you've got a V. So if you go up to your tree and you see branches that are in that V form, more than likely, as it gets older, the bark from each of those branches is going to become included as branches get larger. Because remember, a tree puts on a layer every year and gets wider and fatter. So if you have a V or a peace sign type branch, that bark will become included in there. And as the tree gets older, it actually becomes like a wedge, and it splits apart during storms. Mm-hmm. So it's more likely to fail. So when you recognize that and see that in your tree, then at the time, the decision is to cut one of those off. And that's where people go, oh, I don't want it. You know, it's, but it's healthy for the tree, because you know, you can take it down now or you can let Mother Nature do it in 10, 15 years from now. You know, it's a, it, when it's, you know, a 10-inch diameter branch versus a 1-inch diameter branch. And the same token, if you take your hand and you make like a Texas Red Raiders, you know, like a
make
gun,
an L sign.
Like an L sign, that's a good branch angle. So if you walk up to your branch angles and you can make an L with your thumb and your forefinger, then you go, oh, that's a good branch angle. I can keep that one. So it's a good tool to decide when, what you're going to prune, you know.
Well, what about fruit trees? I know that we've talked about on this show in the past that fruit trees require, you know, a lot more extensive pruning than you would think, like you would for a regular tree. And those actually do need pruning, not unlike our other deciduous trees, which may not need it.
Right. See, and that's a whole other ballgame. And when it comes to pruning trees, we've been talking about pruning shade trees.
Mm-hmm.
Before I get to fruit trees, I'd like to just quickly touch on evergreens. Most evergreens, like your cedars and your pines and your cypress, I think rarely need to be pruned. About the only thing you need to do with them, if you want to walk under them, is prune off the lower branches.
Mm-hmm.
And a good rule of thumb is when you're pruning trees, and this is any tree, is you want to keep 2/3 of your tree in canopy and 1/3 in stem. So let's say you have a 12-foot tall tree. You want to keep 6 foot in canopy and 4 foot of clear stem. So that would be a, basically a 2/3, 1/3 ratio. So you have, you know, from the ground up, 4 feet clear, and then from 4 feet up to 12 feet, that's all canopy. So you keep that ratio for the lifetime of the tree. That's just a good rule of thumb. But fruit trees is a whole different story. If you're into fruit production and you want to have good fruit, when you buy that fruit tree and you stick it in the ground, one of the things is you want to keep them short because they're easier to pick the fruit off of. You don't want them to get too tall.
Mm-hmm.
So most fruit specialists will tell you to chop that tree off, like say at about a 3 foot level. So you've went and bought this 6 foot tall tree and you come home, you stick it in the ground and you chop it off at 3 foot little level just above a bud. And you go, oh, you know, why did I do this? Well, because the response to pruning, when you remove that apical dominance of that tree, the buds below will break because the tree said, I've lost my canopy and crown. They'll break bud and you'll have your lower buds start to grow. And then from there, you can start doing your scaffolding branches. And a lot of times you pick like 3 branches growing off in different directions and you have them spaced probably about 6 inches apart. And you'll start to train those and you'll keep those short so that you can have your fruit on those lower branches. And then with fruit tree pruning again, you'll want to prune the interior branches because you want sunlight to get into all parts of the tree so that your fruit produces really well. And then the hardest part for people is actually knocking the fruit off as it starts to grow,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you have, you know, to thin your fruit. But yeah, fruit production is a whole different story. So when we're talking fruit tree versus shade tree pruning, they're not the same. Just because you see the pecan growers out there chopping off all their trees, don't think that's the right thing to do for your pecan tree at your house because you're not in the production business. You're picking up your nuts, and you know, there's plenty of nuts that are going to be formed that you can get, but you want the health and safety of your pecan tree in your backyard.
And, of course, if you're unsure of any type of pruning, I have some links online.
And you can also – you can always call my office. I'm here in the El Paso office. I'm not here always, but I will return my calls if you leave a message. My phone number is, of course, 915. It's 834-5610. And you can call my office and leave a message.
Well, Oscar Mestis is the regional urban forester with the Texas Forest Service. I'm Norma Martinez. Thanks for listening to Good to Grow. And remember that a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.